Would you join me in thanking our choir and praise team for leading us in worship? Great job. Fantastic. Wow, what a great testimony by Dan. A testimony of God's faithfulness. Appreciate he and Robin being here and sharing their precious word of God's faithfulness. And one thing we're going to be doing in the month of April, April has 5 Sundays and Easter is right in the middle. So be praying about who you're going to invite to our Easter services. We'll have 3 on Easter Sunday morning, 8:30, 9:45, and 11. We're having 3 back-to-back services, so be sure to invite someone to be a part of that. And in those 5 Sundays, in each of our services here, we're going to take out a moment to just celebrate the faithfulness of God. We'll have a video clip that highlights something from this year, and then we're just going to celebrate that faithfulness of what God's done and have a special time of prayer. So I'm looking forward to those special moments in those 5 Sundays coming up in April. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. Now, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 19 as we dive into God's Word. If you're a guest with us, go ahead and take out a moment, if you would, to fill out the guest card if you weren't able to do that earlier, and then you can bring that guest card to our Next Step booth in the atrium. And some of you are wondering, why are y'all wearing these all-in shirts? What's up with the all-in and this little water thing? Well, today's our Baptism Sunday, and this service will be abbreviated so that we can transition into the arena for baptism. And so I encourage you to stay for that. It'll be a wonderful experience. We have 3 people we're going to be baptizing, so to take a few moments, we'll transition over there and have that wonderful celebration in the arena. And that's called a cow palace, but then we say arena, but once you go in there, say, no, this is a cow palace. It's going to be good. When I was growing up, one of my best friends, Chris Jones, and I spent a lot of time together, and we loved to ride our BMX bikes, and we also loved to go to McDonald's because McDonald's was only 6 houses down from where I grew up, so that was a daily event for us. And we're out in the street enjoying our McDonald's and being on our bikes there and fixing to go hit the trails once we consumed our McDonald's. And it was when McDonald's launched a little game, Monopoly, where you would peel off a label and you would either win something like a small Coke or a small fry or cheeseburger, or you would get a letter. And I'd been really peeling off looking for these letters because if you would spell a certain word in completion, you would win a certain amount of money. And I had one word really close, and if I spelled the word, I would win $1,000. That's a lot of money for little elementary students. Some of you are thinking, wait a minute, that's a lot of money for anybody. And it is. And I had this word, all I was missing was the letter A. If I could get the letter A, I would win $1,000. And so when we would peel off the side of the cup, I mean, it was with excitement and joy, just dreaming about what I would do with $1,000 as an elementary kid. And I said to Chris, I said, I just praying for an A, praying for an A. And he's like, why are you looking for an A? I said, because that's the one letter missing. If I had the A, I would get $1,000. He said, an A? I've got an A. I was like, whoa, you've got the A? He said, I've got the A. Where? It's at my house in the kitchen drawer. And so in the street, right there together, we made a deal. If he'd give me the A, I'd give him $500. I'd give him half of the winning if I got the A from him. And so I have never ridden my BMX bike as fast as I did to get to his house. And we zoomed into the kitchen, opened the kitchen drawer, and it was not there. The house cleaning lady had already cleaned out the drawers and everything was gone. There was no A. And I was broken. We had a meltdown right there in the kitchen. Shattered dreams right there in the kitchen. I almost won. And I want you to think about the word almost in your life. How many times did you get right to the edge and you almost experienced that, you almost had that, you almost did that, you almost had that breakthrough, you almost had it all? That is the storyline of the individual Jesus encountered that we're going to explore in Matthew 19. The storyline of his life is this: almost. He almost had it all. Now let's look together, look in your listening guide. If you'll write this statement down, where Jesus encounters a rich young ruler. He has an encounter with a rich young ruler. Now this account is in Matthew, it's also in Mark, it's in Luke, and we're getting their perspectives. When you pull those stories together, we come to understand that this is a rich, young ruler. Then we pick up in chapter 19 of Matthew, verse 16. And behold, a man came up to him, knowing now the rich young ruler came up to him, to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" Now that's a loaded question. What good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." Then the rich young ruler said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. Check. You shall not commit adultery. Check. You shall not steal. Check. You shall not bear false witness. Check. Honor your father and mother. Check. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Check." The young man said to him, "All these I have kept." He must have really been a good man. And then he asked this question, "What do I still lack?" Which is very rare for a rich man who has it all. "What do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." That's a rather profound response. And when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, broken, for he had great possessions. There's such tension in this encounter. We know wealthy people. And in fact, everyone in this room, in our global economy, in our world population, if we were to pull the over 7 billion people together and then put all of us in the equation with the global population, we would be considered very affluent. We are a blessed people. We are an affluent people. We have choices. We know what leftovers are. When a large segment of our global population, they don't even know what it means to say leftovers. We are blessed beyond measure. Now, there's nothing wrong with being blessed. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy. There's nothing wrong with having possessions as long as your possessions don't have you. We're blessed, aren't we? Whenever you look at Grand Parkway, how many of you have been on Grand Parkway? Would you raise your hand? Don't you love Grand Parkway? And the Easy Tag store loves that we love Grand Parkway. We've had Easy Tag for the whole 10 years we've been here, and we moved off of Gosling and McKenzie Park to be really close to our new land. And so we take the Grand Parkway all the time, and the Easy Tag store sent me a little notice. Normally they draft $40. They want $40 balance in your account. So they sent me a little note for our two different accounts that we now are going to have 100 in each account. They just wanted me to know that, and they're so thankful we are enjoying their road. And so anyway, as you go along Grand Parkway, what you'll notice is all kinds of new construction. In fact, ladies, have you noticed the new Target down the street? Have you seen it? How many of you are excited about that new Target? Now, guys, how many of you are stressed out because now Target's really close by? Okay, and right next to Target is Ulta. And I mean, it's like the Ulta experience and expense. But anyway, what you'll also notice on the Grand Parkway are all these storage units going up, like mega storage buildings. That is an indicator and a reminder that we have too much stuff. We're so blessed that we have to go rent space to find room for it. There's nothing wrong with being blessed. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy. There's nothing wrong with having possessions as long as your possessions don't have you. Now, this rich young ruler was rich and he was a ruler. Very likely a ruler of a synagogue, which would be rare that a young man would be the ruler unless he was rich. He was a good man, a very religious man. He had a moral authority about him, and he respected the law of God. He had a checklist, as we just went through. Check, 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 done that, live like that. So he was a good man. He was a man that was sincere. He was a man that was very curious. And he knew the right question to ask, and he knew the right person to ask. What must I do? What good deed must I do to inherit eternal life? So his understanding was that you have to do something to earn eternal life. You have to have a good deed to earn eternal life. And Jesus threw a curveball. He said, go sell all your possessions and give to the poor, then come follow me. Now, if you're not careful, you read that and think, well, then for us to inherit eternal life, then we need to go sell everything and go give all of our possessions to the poor. We need to go sell everything and give to the poor. Then we'll have eternal life. What Jesus was saying here was that's not going to get you eternal life, but that's what's keeping you from gaining eternal life. Is your possessions have possessed you, and your possessions are keeping you from receiving eternal life. Which brings us to our takeaway. Look at it with me. Salvation is not achieved. Salvation is received. If it were achieved, it means that my merit is satisfactory. It means that I can do something to earn God's favor. I can do something to earn salvation. Salvation then would no longer be a gift. It'd be something that you work for, something that you can earn, something that you can attain, something you can achieve. Can I make an announcement? Even on your best day, you come up short, and I come up short. You cannot achieve salvation. You must receive salvation. I love Ephesians 2, 8, 9. If you'll write that in your notes, for by grace, and grace, remember, is a gift from God. For by grace, you've been saved through faith. And this, not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Here's what the Word of God is teaching. You don't work for salvation. You work as a result of your salvation. You don't get baptized in order to be saved. You're baptized to demonstrate that you are saved. You don't work for your salvation to achieve it. You receive salvation as a gift from God, and you demonstrate your appreciation by serving God and sacrificing and giving and placing the needs of others before your own. And what grieves me this morning, as I've been preaching the Word of God for 30 years, as I've been pleading for souls to come to Jesus, and whatever's in your way, whatever idol has been erected in your life, whatever you're placing your trust in and your faith in, whatever is keeping you from getting right with God, I plead with you to remove that idol and run from that idol and run to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to achieve salvation, but to receive it as a free gift. Here's what breaks my heart. How many people are in hell who almost made it to heaven? How many people in hell almost made it, but they were unwilling to surrender to the Lordship of Christ, unwilling to acknowledge their own sin and their own dependency before a holy God. So the storyline of the rich young ruler is almost had it all. Look at our second movement in the text. Jesus engages his disciples in a teachable moment. This is a major teachable moment, if you'll go with me on their perspective. Look at verse 23. And Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, and this is an hyperbole. Jesus is using this to stretch your imagination, to make you understand the impossibility. He says, again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel. How many of you have seen a camel before? Would you raise your hand? If you've ever been to our Christmas productions, we have two camels, and they're both bilingual because we do four services in English, two in Spanish. We pay extra for them. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard this, and I'm with them, I could understand how they're feeling, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now, why were the disciples astonished? They were astonished because their understanding was that if a person in the first century had wealth, possessions, if they were blessed like that, it meant to them they had the favor of God. So the disciples were looking at this rich young ruler. They respected him. He was a religious man, a sincere man, very curious man. He obviously, because of his wealth, had the favor of God on his life. So they were equating that this wealthy man must have been blessed by God, that this man of wealth must have the favor of God on him. And if he can't get there, if he's not going to heaven, then there's no hope for us. If he can't get there, then there is no way we'll make it. And Jesus kind of intensified it because he said how difficult it is for a rich man to enter. Not because he has wealth, but because his wealth has him. Easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. So the disciples are like, then who can be saved? And Jesus said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. What Jesus was illustrating is that you can't put your faith in your wealth, in your current status. You can't put your faith in how many people follow you on social media. You can't put your faith on all the wonderful good deeds you've done up until this point. You can't put your faith in you. You must put your faith in God and what God did for you that you could never do for yourself. Which brings us to our takeaway. Temporal blessings do not ensure eternal bliss. Have you ever seen a wicked person really do well in life? Have you ever watched TV for 2 minutes? And you just see the extravagance of some lifestyles. You're like, but they're so wicked, they're so mean, they're so evil. And you're like, why has God blessed them? And when you make a statement like that, you're equating temporal blessing with eternal bliss. And the reality is, a person can be super wealthy on this earth and have all kind of toys and possessions and have acquired so much and still go to hell if they haven't turned from sin and trusted in Jesus alone for salvation. One decision away from eternal bliss and joy in heaven. And the rich young ruler, of all the amazing decisions he made with his life, he obviously made wise decisions. He made one extremely unwise decision, and it's when he was unwilling to follow Jesus. And he went away sorrowful because he almost had it all. Look at our third movement. Jesus explains his promise of future reward. This is so encouraging. Verse 27, then Peter said in reply, "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." In other words, you will be elevated in eternity. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands, those of you who have sacrificed for my name's sake, you'll receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. What Jesus is saying is that nothing escapes God's attention. Many people now are receiving the praise of men and the applause of men, and it looks like they're receiving their treasure on earth. And for many, your treasure's in heaven. And you may say, but Pastor Stephen, I don't like the delay. I want my blessing here and now. So Jesus says the first will be last and the last will be first. Think about what heaven's going to be like. Think about those who have served God faithfully with a few things will be entrusted with much in heaven. That's really awesome. That you, where you have sacrificed on this earth, you will be blessed many times over. Of course, inheriting eternal life being the ultimate reward of God's faithfulness through you. But the first will be last, the last will be first. Think about who's going to be at the front of the line in heaven. We always think, well, it's those who've been preaching the gospel, and it's those who've been under the lights, and those who have been just preaching it globally, and those who've been so aggressive in sharing the gospel and just out public with their faith. Let me just say this to you. I believe that most pastors, those of us who are on the stage and our righteousness is on display and seen and applauded by men and women, boys and girls, I believe we're receiving a majority of our reward on earth. You know who I believe is going to be way in front of the line, way ahead of us? Those who have been serving God in obscurity, just faithfully serving God behind the scenes. Think about all those grandmothers who are prayer warriors who will never be on a platform, but they're on their knees before a holy God praying for you and for me. I think about all those people who have been serving and sacrificing behind the scenes to make church work. That's who's going to be at the front of the line. The first will be last, the last will be first. Here's the takeaway. God sees the unseen and rewards obedience. God sees the unseen and rewards obedience. So let me ask you this question. What will the storyline of your life be? Almost? Almost? Or do you want to solidify your relationship with God today? Don't gamble with eternity. Don't flirt with forever. You are one decision away, in fact, one very wise decision away from changing your forever.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things He created instead of Him. We have chosen to reject His authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things He created instead of Him, which is ultimately pointless given that He is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against Him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access Him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before He forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and He took upon our punishment on Himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in Him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without Him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.